All right. Thank you so much for your giving. Thank you, ushers. So guess what? I'm preaching. It's been a while, and Pastor Wes, he knows it's a lot to do on, you know, all in one day, but I love preaching. So there's been so many awesome stand-ins for Pastor Wes over the last several months, and it's an honor to be asked and to be able to share the Word of God with you today. So I'm excited about it. Amen. A few things have changed since the last time I shared the Word. I got older. And, you know, it's a crazy, crazy fact of life, you know, that there's this commercial, and guys, maybe you've seen it because it's geared towards us anyway. Men over 40 see this. It's a picture of a man over 40 when they should be seen this. And it's another man over 40. And then it goes on, men over 40 see this, but when they should be seeing this. And it's all about men over 40 getting bags under their eyes. And I'm like, you know, it just happened that I looked in the mirror and that was me. I'm like, what is going on? And it's all about this skin product and whatever. All right. Crazy. It's all about life. But it kind of ties into what I'm going to be talking about today, too. It's about perspective. I mean, we can look at the negative things of life. We can look at the positive things. We can look at what the end result's going to be. So what I want to talk about today is God's perspective and mine. Okay? Making it personal. I could say God's perspective and yours, but go ahead and say this with me. God's perspective and mine. All right. So have you ever looked forward to, like, some type of an event, a party, project, something that you have put a lot of plans and thought into? Anybody? Have you ever done anything like that? All right. And sometimes it turns out really good. I mean, there are some of us, we are so meticulous with details, and it better just go, it better go how I'm planning for it to go, right? But you get there, you get in the middle of it, and something happens. I mean, maybe it's an outside party. You think it's going to be sunny. The 14-day forecast says sunny and 70, and it's rainy and windy, and your canopy blows away. Okay? I mean, that type of stuff. There's things that are unexpected obstacles in our life that, man, we're looking forward to this exciting time, and something happens. You're anticipating something. You're planning something in your life. Maybe it's not this huge event, but you're planning something to go a certain way, and something happens, and it becomes one of the most incredible sources of frustration that you've experienced. You with me? All right, so you've all been there. That's good. So somewhere, you know, in those times, in our thoughts or in our outspoken words, we're saying, like, God, why is this happening to me? Why? I mean, if you even take the time to pray, hopefully you do in those frustrating moments, but take the time to pray and say, God, why is this happening? Well, I had one of those moments about 60 days. The last 60 days have been one of the most challenging in my secular career that I've ever, ever had. And I went in, you know, on this high note, like, this is going to be a great week. I knew everything I had lined up, and get there and find out some horrible, horrible news. I'm not going to get into the details, but it was one of those things where I was on a high point in my life, and it just went boom. I mean, just like the bottom dropped out. And I sat there thinking, okay, this doesn't, first of all, recognizing it as not making sense. It didn't make sense. Why was this happening, right? So I literally, physically pushed myself away from my desk, and I raised my hands to the Lord in my office, and I said, God, show me why this is happening. Why is this happening? And he immediately gave me the answer, and is that I was going to be speaking crazy. I didn't know I was going to be preaching today, but that I was going to be preaching on going through a struggle, going through a challenge, keeping your eyes fixed on what is ahead of you, all right? And so I knew what it was, and God revealed the whole spiritual dynamic to it. So, enough said. Last week, Pastor Wes said something about happiness and joy, right? Remember that? It was a good message, good sermon. I'm excited to hear the next one. as well to follow up with that. But remember, happiness is a fleeting human emotion, right? It comes and goes. It's up and it's down. It's there and it's not, right? It's one of those moments, like, this is going to be a great day, and the bottom drops out, and there's no happiness there. You all with me? All right, but joy is what? Joy is our strength, right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not a fleeting emotion. It's something that, man, if I'm in this struggle right now, if I'm in this situation right now, I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on what I know God has in store for me. I know he has an answer for me. I know that the promise of God is coming my way. And that should be enough, all right, keeping our eyes fixed on that joy, that we don't need the happiness in every moment. You know what I'm saying? The joy of the Lord is our strength to get us through every situation. So keep this in mind. Your perspective greatly determines your attitude and outcome of a situation. Okay, your perspective, how you're looking at it, right? I mean, if you're looking negatively into a situation that you're dealing with because it's a negative situation, if you already feel defeated and you're having that mentality and that spiritual mindset of I'm defeated, there's no way I'm going to get through this, guess what? You're probably not, right? But if you keep your eyes fixed on the promise of God, he will get you through whatever you're going on. So I love sharing stories. The last story I shared was around Memorial Day, and it was about a kayak trip. So guess what I'm going to share this time? A story about another kayak trip. Good guess. Great, great guess. So here we go. I'm going to set the stage. I took our two boys and one of their friends on a kayak trip Labor Day weekend. And there's this portion of river from 6 Mile Bridge all the way down to the end. We've done it several times. Love it. Know the area. Know just about every bend, every obstacle. It was great. But I wanted to do something different. Here I am planning a great experience, right? And I'm like, I want to start from 9 Mile Bridge. So we're going to make this a longer trip. And I did some research on this section of river. And people are like, oh, it's more scenic, and there's a few down trees here and there that you might have to pull your kayak out around and stuff. And so I'm like, oh, piece of cake. Little did I know what we were getting into. Guys, the water was so fast. The bends were so sharp. And the current was so strong that it was pushing us into log jams that we could not get out of, all right? Around every sharp bend that you couldn't see around, as soon as you get there, there's a tree laying down in the river, like you're going under like this, you know? I mean, it was insane. I can't tell you how many times we sunk the kayaks. Lost track. I mean, it was absolutely perspective, right? The most awful trip we've ever had. But you know what? We made it the most fun trip we ever had. We were laughing so hard, right, guys, if you're with me? Yeah, it was so much fun. We would do it again, but definitely not what I had planned for, right? So this section of 9 Mile Bridge down to 6 Mile, I'm like, it's only going to take about an hour, hour 20. 3 hours go by. Finally, I'm like, 6 Mile Bridge, good, only another hour and a half to go, you know, and we ended up finishing in the dark. It was pretty rough going there. We had lamps just in case that was the case, but it was a pretty wild trip. This reminds me of a familiar story in the Bible, and I know you're going to be thinking, well, he's talking about hardships, he's talking about perspective, he's talking about end result. Who do you think I'm going to be talking about? You're not the only one. I was sharing this with somebody the other day that was visiting our house, a salesman, and I said, you know what? I'm getting ready for a sermon. Here's what I'm preaching on, and I just shared the word of God with them. It was great. I'm actually preaching on Joseph. So what I want you to do really quick, think about the beginning emotions, the middle emotions, the end of the experience I just shared with you, and let's turn to Genesis 37, verses 1 through 11, all right? Genesis 37, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to go ahead and read this. This is from the New King James Version. Here we go. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, how old was he? 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. So he's with his stepbrothers out in the field. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I've dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I've dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and even the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept it in mind. Think about Joseph's state of mind right now. His dreams of success, right? His dreams of success. Not only that, he had a very unique gift. Only he had it because his father designed it, made it, and gave it to him to wear. His brothers hated him, but Joseph has this idea of success. And you all know Joseph's life turned out great, right? Let me continue Joseph's story. Joseph was loved and enjoying the journey of his life with his coat, with his dreams of success. However, his brothers hated him, envied him, and then later stripped him of his coat, threw him in a pit, and sold him to be a slave. Okay? All of a sudden, living high, living low. Joseph's story goes on. He then became the slave of Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt. And even though things were looking grim, Potiphar saw the hand of the Lord on Joseph's life, and Joseph was successful in everything he did. Potiphar promoted Joseph to oversee all of Potiphar's house and his possessions. This is great news, right? Finally, Joseph's life is turning around. It started low, now it's on a high again, right? And everything's great, right? I mean, what else, what other good things could be coming Joseph's way? Wait, then Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph of rape. Joseph gets thrown in prison. Are you with me? Do you see the ups and the downs? So quick, right? He's in prison. Fellow prisoners start having dreams, and Joseph's like, "Well, God gave me the interpretation for your dream." So he interpreted it. Pharaoh later has dreams. And Pharaoh said, "Who can interpret my dream?" They brought in Joseph. Joseph interpreted the dreams, and Pharaoh promoted Joseph to the second highest command in Egypt, just under Pharaoh himself. Amazing how many ups and downs this kid was facing. 17 years old and nearly roughly about 10 years of this up and down pattern in his life. So stressful, so overwhelming, right? As you can see, I'm using the old-fashioned notes. Pharaoh made Joseph second in command. When a drought came into all the land of Egypt and surrounding Egypt, Joseph had stored enough food, not just for the Egyptians, but also for his family that came asking for food. Amazing how God turned every negative thing into something good, into a place of advancement for Joseph. He remained faithful and pliable and was able to be used by God in every part of his journey, whether ups or downs. Now back to the perspective of our situations. I knew, all right, back to the kayak trip, I knew that Six Mile Bridge was up ahead. I knew it. I didn't hope for it. I knew that we would get there. See, it's not a question of whether or not it exists. I know it does exist. John 16:33, this is a familiar passage. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples, talking about tribulations, talking about tough times for his followers, right? Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So in this verse, of course, I got to throw out Greek. Here we go. Ready? The Greek word is phlipsis. Do you remember this? I think Pastor West shared about this recently. Phlipsis is the Greek word for tribulation. It means pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. How many of you have felt those ever in your life? Like 10 of us. I think probably all of us have felt something like that at some time. We've all experienced some type of tribulation. Jesus gave us this advance notice that trouble and unexpected obstacles and challenges will be in our way, right? Life is going to be tough. But hang on, look to him, and be of good cheer, because God's peace, his favor, his answer, his promise, his deliverance is coming your way. Do you believe that today? Amen? At home, do you believe that today? Amen, I heard you. It could be a promotion you're looking for. It could be some stressful project at work that you have been working on forever. Guess what? The successful project is coming to an end. You will be successful. You need to keep your eyes fixed on Christ and allow him to work in that situation. It's not a question of whether God's answer will come, whether his promise will come, whether those things exist. They do exist. Where did I hear that? Is that from an M&M commercial? When they saw the M&Ms on the commercial, they do exist. They do. I'm going to keep this short. Worship team, if you could come up. I'm going to start wrapping this up. What do we need to do to help those who are facing insurmountable challenges? Many of us have faced those things before, right? Maybe some of us are facing them right now. We need to be the body of Christ. Pastor West, a couple weeks ago, shared something. This is my takeaway from it, and you'll recognize the words here at the end. But, you know, we might all go through similar challenges. Each of us processes them differently than the other person, right? Each of us is at a different stage of life in our faith journey with the Lord than everybody else. And we truly can't understand how the other person is feeling, even though they're going through a similar situation that we did. You know, sometimes the encouraging words we can share as the body of Christ is how we got through. But sometimes, too, it's not just praying for the person, it's praying with the person. Mm-hmm. And just speaking words of life, words of encouragement. And maybe not telling them how they need to change, but just saying, "God, you know, I pray with my brother and my sister right now for the same strength that you showed me, for the deliverance that you showed me." And you just pray with them, partner with them in that. And at times of other success, don't be like Joseph's brothers where they got hated him and envied him, but rejoice with them, right? In those difficult times of life, we need to take just a step back, push yourself back from the situation, and shift our perspective from the difficulty in that moment to the promise and the victory, the answer that God is bringing your way. Jesus didn't let Peter sink in the water. Do you remember that? When he was looking at the storms of life, he was looking at the water and the waves and the wind and the storm, the thunder, whatever was going on at the time. He began to sink, but Jesus lifted him up and caused him to walk on top of those storming seas. And he's going to do the same thing for you. He's going to do it. It's not a question of will he or if he, it's he will. What I want to ask you today, okay, and I would just encourage you, if you are going through something, and maybe this message spoke to you, you know, and you're like, I'm having a hard time getting out of the hole that I'm in right now. It's just a very low time of my life. What I want to encourage you to do as we sing this next song is to come to the altar and just pray. Just give it over to the Lord. And church, can we be the body, men with men, women with women, praying with each other, and just pray. Just pray for them to be able to get through the next bend, through the next obstacle. You with me? Can we do that?
Amen.
All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, and God, I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, just as you used every situation that Joseph had going on in his life, you turned it into a place of success for him. God, a place of promotion, a place of victory. Lord, I thank you that you were able to do things through him that needed to happen in order to save so many thousands, if not tens of thousands of people. God, you see us in our low times. You see us in our valleys. God, you see us in the place of where we may feel like we're in defeat. But God, I thank you that there is victory coming our way. God, I thank you that there's nothing too difficult for you, as we've sang about today. And so, Lord, right now, we just lay these situations before you. So if that's you today, come on, let's open up this altar. Church, would you stand with me?